Team, how many enjoyed the worship this morning? In a few minutes, we're going to have a baptism. So how many is looking forward to a baptism? I got all sweated up, so I'm ready to get cooled off. You know, when I dance with the little kids, I sense that Jesus is dancing with us. You know, it's like a little worship team up here. I'm in Mark. We are going through Mark. It's talking about being a disciple. And now Jesus is within a few days before he's going to be crucified. In Mark chapter 13, verse 32, he says this to them. But about the day or hour, we can read that together. Let's read it together. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. Do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task. He tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. He's saying there, be alert. Don't fall asleep. I was growing up in Denmark. And my friends, the church, the state church, had fallen asleep. Literally fallen asleep. My experience with that church was they never expected God to do anything. It was going through the motions, but not ever. And singing to hymns who had been written by people who had experienced suffering in the blood, but they did not know the God that they were singing to. And so, my friends, let us not be a sleeping church. I just have a little video. I just thought I would do this because it's a pretty serious sermon. So I wanted to just show you this about a sleeping church, just so you know what it looks like. I mean, you don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to show you what it looks like. Oops. That's... How many knows this guy? That is a sleeping church. I'm watching you all. How many can they make a headstand like that? Anyway, why is Jesus repeatedly say, be alert? Watch. Well, it comes about, if you begin in the beginning of that chapter, the disciples are coming to Jerusalem. It's pretty hard to come back to something serious. And they come beside the temple in Jerusalem. And I've been there. If you walk by the temple, there is humongous rocks, 3, 4, 5 tons. Every rock is huge, and they are built on top of each other. How many have ever watched on the news the Wailing Wall? Okay, that, you have a picture of that, okay? At least the bottom part of it is those rocks that Jesus would have walked by. And they would have been there for hundreds of years. Isn't it amazing that they could build that without hydraulics and you know, stuff that we have today? It's just amazing. And of course, they were amazed, right? They came from Galilee, and they didn't go and see Jerusalem very often. So they were amazed. And then Jesus makes this announcement. He said, every one of those rocks are going to come down. And they say, well, when is that going to happen? And if you know the history a little bit, you know that they came down in 70 AD. But then he goes on to say about the signs of the end. And he says things like this. He said, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. He says there's going to be people, false prophets, false teaching, and people claim to be the Messiah, but they're not. So part of the awakening is, do not be deceived. Today, my friends, in our culture, there is a deception out there that it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you do. It's all going to be okay. Every religion leads to God. How many have ever heard that? Well, that is a deception. That's not true. He goes on to say that it's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be natural catastrophes like earthquakes and droughts. And how many knows that within the last 100 years we have had the worst wars that the world has ever known? First World War, Second World War. If there ever is another world war, it will decimate most of the population of this earth. Those are signs, Jesus says, but it's not yet the time. In fact, no one would know the time. He talks about earthquakes and disasters. And we know within the last even 50 years, there's been more earthquakes, tsunamis, that the world has ever known before. Those are signs of birth pains. And then he goes on to say this. He says, but the gospel will be preached to all nations. And they figure within 2025, they will reach every nations, every tongue, every sect on this earth because of the technology they can do it. Amen. So he says those are signs. But then he goes on to say this story. He said you'll not know the time, but it was like, what it is, it's like a master who's going away, and he gives his house in charge. He says to the servants, you're in charge until I come back. And coming back, and who's the servants of this house? Who are we? Are we not the servants? Are we not entrusted with his kingdom? Are we not entrusted with the promises that is given to us in this word? And he says, not say, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? So my friends, and this is where it's serious. The reason that Jesus is saying be alert, I believe it's not just that he's coming back, because he is. And he wants to rescue us from 7 years of horrendous disaster. But also because whether he comes back or we meet him because we die, either way, he will hold us accountable for what he has given us. And I know you're thinking, Hans, I heard your sermons many times. You're telling us we are saved by grace. We are saved by mercy. It is not by my works. And it's true. And it's very true. We can never minimize that. But when you are saved, when you are believing in Jesus and he's the Lord of your life, he's going to say to you, what have you done with what I've given you? There is a judgment about that, and there's a blessing that comes with it. There's a blessing that comes with doing what God has given you. And he tells this parable. He tells this parable in Matthew 25. Of, again, it's a nobleman who's going to leave. And before he leaves, he says to one of the servants, here's his 5 talents or his 5 bags of gold. And he says to another servant, here's a bag of gold, here's 2 talents. And he says to another one, here's how many? 1 talent. And then he comes back one day and he says to the one with 5 talents, what did you do with the 5 talents? What did you do with the 5 bags of gold? He said, I multiplied it. I invested it. And now I have 10 bags. He said, good and faithful servant. Then he went to the one with 2 talents. What did you do with those 2 talents? He said, I invested it. And now I have 4 talents. Now I have 4 bags of gold. What's the point of this is not everybody has been given the same thing. We're not the same. We don't have the same talents or giftings or backgrounds and the same opportunities. And God says, I don't care about that. I care, however, with what you have been given, that you do something with it. Amen? So it's not about comparing ourselves to others. It's just saying, Lord, what have you actually given me? What can I do with that? Then he goes to the one with 1 talent. And the guy said, I buried it in the ground. My friend, a sleeping church buries the talents in the ground. And he says, because I knew you were a hard taskmaster, and therefore I buried it in the ground. You do not reap what you sow. And Jesus was upset. He said, give me your talent, and I'll give it to somebody who is multiplying it. I'll give it to the guy with the most. He says, I'm going to throw you out. That sounds harsh. But he's saying to us, if you don't do something with it, you're not going to get the rewards that I have planned for you in heaven. And if you don't believe me, Paul makes it very, very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He talks about building your house. Built on this foundation using gold. The foundation is what? The foundation is Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone of this building. Using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping by the skin of the teeth. That's not in the Bible. But escaping the fire. Okay, that's what it's basically saying. It's there. Promise. Through the flames. There we go. So he's saying, you know, you may be born again, but you do nothing with it. And so when the time comes, you will not receive the reward that God will want to give you. In fact, you may barely get into heaven. Okay, that's the message. How many agrees that's the message? I'm not making this up. Okay, this is the message. So God is saying, you're being given talents. Now what am I going to do with it? And me, it starts with what is your value? What decision are you going to make? What are you going to do? There is, you know, if we don't make a decision of what is our priorities in life, what is our core values, we will drift. How many knows that? How many has ever drifted? And you wake up sometimes, whoops, what did I actually do with my day? What did I actually do with my week? Or my year? Or my years? And it's like if you're drifting, you know, I've been in a canoe when I lost my paddles. Well, actually, we had a shovel. We used a shovel as a paddle. And the canoe, was it even a canoe? It was a canoe. And it was, the current was taking it wherever you want to go. And the culture will take you and it'll drift you down a path just because you're trying to please people around you and pleasing demands that people have on you. And before you know it, you're actually falling spiritually asleep. And then comes the waterfall. And you say, how did I ever end up in the waterfall? How did I end up crashing? Well, it happened way back there when you let go of those oars. So, my friends, the way to stay alert is making some decisions. What do you want to end up as? Where do you want to end up? What do you want a eulogy to be? What do you want Jesus to say to you when you meet him? You may meet him tomorrow. You may meet him in 100 years from now. But guaranteed, within the next 100 years, almost all of us will meet him. Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, whatever is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and striving towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize. To win what? The prize. For which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. We often think that all the prize and all there is here. And all the reward I've ever seen is what I have here. But when you read the scriptures, there is rewards here and now for obedience to God. But there's also heavenly and eternal rewards for those who is willing to take what God gives you and use it for his kingdom. Amen. So I see what Paul does. He says, this is his goal. This is his core value. I'm going to press on to take hold of all that Christ has taken hold of. I want to forget about the things of the past, and I want to know him more, and even I want to know his suffering. That's his goal. That's what he lives for. When you ask Jesus, which his parents did when they couldn't find him one day when he was 13 years old and he was lost in the temple. Well, he wasn't lost, but they didn't know where he was. They went to the temple and they found him. He said, where are you? Because he'd been lost for 3 days. He said, I didn't know I was about my father's business. And when everything that Jesus did was what? About the Father's business. When you have core values, it helps you establish your priorities in life. And you're going to end up where you need to be. But if you don't have those things to guide you, the world around you will guide you. Amen? Well, you don't have to say amen to that. But I believe it's true. So, how do I set those core values? You know, when I was a child, My mom had made fresh cookies. And it smelled up the whole kitchen. And she put them in a cupboard. And she locked the cupboard. And I knew where she put the key. And when she wasn't looking, I went and I sneaked a cookie. And how many knows when you have one cookie, that's not good enough? You need two. And after a while, the jar was half empty. And my mom came along to hand out cookies to visitors, and there was hardly any left. And she said, Hans, actually she called me Hans Schoen, where are the cookies? And for some reason, I didn't blame my sisters. They weren't around. But I said, I don't know. He said, did you take them? I said, no. I don't know where they vanished to. And so my mom, as most mothers know the truth, called my dad. That's when my parents were still together. I was only probably 5, 6 years old. And said, did you steal those cookies? And I was stupid enough to say no. And whack, did I get a spanking. And I put in bed. Do you know why I still remember that? Because it was so significant. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to teach me a core value. And you know what? It stuck with me. Many times, you know, when I was caught in school or something and said, Hans, did you do it? I would say yes. Yes. I remember the spanking I got when I lied. I'm not going to get there again. I just say yes. When we teach our kids, we're actually implanting core values in them. And we think it's just so that we can get them out of our hair and they can stop messing up our time. But actually, it is a core value that will last forever. It helps them. Amen? So I decided to think about what is my core value? What is it that I have decided to live by? And I want to say this. The first one is I have decided I wanted to love Jesus. And I want to enjoy his presence. I have them on there if you don't mind. It's actually a fun exercise to write down for yourself. What are my core values? How many knows that if you ask somebody, what is your core values? They'll write down the things they believe they should do. How many will write down the things you think you should do? But when you look hard at it, you don't really do it. That's okay. It's a good exercise. I will love Jesus and enjoy his presence. I will love what Jesus loves. What does Jesus love? Does he love ice cream? I think he does. Does he love dancing? I think he does. But he loves people, right? He loves people. He loves his word. This is a letter for us. He loves his word. He loves when we enjoy meeting with him. I love my family because he has enlisted, he's entrusted me with a beautiful family. He says, I want you to love them as I love them. How many knows that Jesus loves even my family more than I do? And I want to leave them a legacy. I know that I am a role model to them in some ways. Whatever I do will impact them as well. Remember these little ones standing here? They are very like sponges. They will maybe look this way, but they are peeking out this side to see what you're doing. And I can tell you some things I have done wrong. How many of his parents have said I've done things wrong? We've all done wrong, okay? Praise God that he can sometimes fix the things that we have done wrong. Well, he can. I'll extend honor and respect even at the expense of being right. So it's more important in the value system that I have that I respect the person than trying to show them how right I am. I feel that's very important. When I walk away from somebody, it's more important to have a relationship with them than I prove to them that I'm right. And I try to live by that. I will love his church locally and worldwide and find place in his body. My friends, when I got saved, I don't know why, but God says, I felt I needed to go to church. I felt I needed to go to church every Sunday. And I think God says, well, he loves church so much, I'm going to make him a pastor. I don't know if that's true. But when I got saved, I knew it was important. I could not live out my faith. I could not live out my faith without having fellowship with others. I needed to be among others who believed. And I'm saying this, my friends, because in our culture today, church has got kicked and hit, criticized, and put under the dirt. But Jesus is coming for who? His bride. And what is the bride? Church. Is the church perfect? Is the church imperfect? You betcha. And has the church hurt people? Yes. I'll be first to tell you. But nonetheless, God gave me a love for what he loves. The broken church. That's what he's coming for. And I feel that I am to find a place in that body. God, you give me some talents. What can I do? I'll use the talents given to me for his kingdom's sake, not just for me, but for further his kingdom. And just go on to the next one. I'll give generously to the church in tithes and offering. I believe that my money belongs to him. I'll do what I can to see his kingdom go forth through evangelism and social justice. I will love the people who do not love me. Oh, excuse me? Where did I get that from? I will love the people who do not love me. Jesus hung on the cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. I want to be able to do that. Jesus says, if you love those who love you back, what reward is there in that? I tell you, love your enemies. How many knows that's not easy? In fact, I believe that takes a supernatural power. But I want to walk in that, even though I fail so many times. I want to be quick to forgive and not pick up an offense. There's nothing that steals the joy than an offense. And you know, when I feel it, I say, that does not belong to me. I don't want it. It's sticking to me. It's like glue. But I'm going to rip it off my chest, off my heart, and I'm going to put it in the garbage. Like that's not where I want to go. Because as soon as I have an offense, I can't love, I can't forgive, I can't receive love, and I can't give it away. So I don't want it. This belongs to me. Todd White always says, I've been born again for 7 years, and nobody has ever offended me. And you know that's not true, but he's not received it. Right? He's not received it. I will love who? I will love the broken. Jesus gave us to love the poor, the prisoners, and the lonely. In Matthew 25, he says, when you go to the prisoners, you're going to me. When you go to feed the poor, you're feeding me. When you go to the lonely, you're visiting me. I will not work for money or material things. Okay, guys, the board, just be quiet. Just close your ears. I will not work for money or material things, but I'll work for the kingdom. And let God be my provider. Amen. God showed that to me many, many years ago. And that's still a challenge sometimes. But that's where he wants me to live. Amen. In the end of my life, I pray I'll be able to see, to say, I'll be able to stand before Jesus. And he says, hands, you ran the race. You kept your faith. You ran the race. What's the next line? You ran the race. You kept the faith. That's the one thing I'm missing there. I fought a good fight. That's it. I ran the race. I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I wanted to be able to say, Jesus will say to me, good and faithful servant, you ran that race. You fought a good fight. And you kept your faith. Amen. If you ever need a list like this, I have it. But write out your own list. That's the most powerful thing you could do. It says, Lord, I'm not there yet, but that's where I want to be. Amen. Because when you make decisions on everyday things, it's those decisions that are going to help you do what you need to do. To be alert and awake. So when Jesus comes, you're not caught by surprise. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, you've given us the greatest gift that any person could ever receive. And Lord, many times we don't even realize it. You've given us the gift of salvation, which means that we're going to be with you for all eternity. We're going to enjoy your presence. We're going to enjoy worship. We're going to enjoy, Lord, working with you. We're not going to just sit on the couch. We're going to actually work with you, God. And we're going to do things. We don't fully understand what that looks like. But Lord, you in your word is preparing us for it. So God, help us to take what you've given us and be good stewards. You've given us this kingdom to take care of it. And Lord, help us to use the gifts, our money, our time to do what you called us to do. And help us not to let negative things affect us. Help us not to let the past steal our future. Help us not to walk in offense and unforgiveness. But help us to let go of those things so we can be fully alert to do what you call us to do. So that when we end our life, you'll declare over us, good and faithful servant, I'm proud of you. Thank you, Father, for every person in this place. Thank you for what you're going to do in a few minutes here. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And now we're going to have...
Coming to the Healing Lodge is one of the many moments I will never forget. It has brought me faith to believe in myself and my love for God. These past few years, I struggled with addiction, committing crime, living an honest, truthful life was really hard. Following my faith, connecting with spirituality has brought so much care, comfort, and courage. I have been able to awaken my love for Jesus, something that had been gone for a while now. Jesus died on the cross for me. He showed himself to me throughout my times of struggles. He was constantly showing me signs that I was going down the wrong path. His love for me has changed me by being able to forgive myself for my sins. I want to follow Jesus. He is renewing my spirituality and my mentality. Jesus is the Son of God, and I am God's daughter. I am getting baptized today to show my love for Jesus. Jesus is my friend, and he walks with me every day. Today I give my life to the Lord, and I'm making him Lord of my life. I'm grateful for all the hardships and the trials as they have made me a better person. I'm going to read a little scripture from Romans 5:4. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves me. God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I just want to thank... the Assembly of God for accepting me for who I am, and for opening your guys' church for me and letting me get baptized here. I've never been baptized before. My family back home, I'm in their prayers and thoughts today. My brothers and sisters, I let them know that I was getting baptized today. And I'm doing this myself, but I'm doing it for them too. My brothers and I, we lost my parents a long time ago. And I just feel that, you know, God, my Father, is really here for me, and he's really supporting me and helping me through my healing journey, and I just want to give thanks. Amen.
Good job. So, Lord, thank you for Maria, God, and thank you, Father, for her willingness to step out today Lord, it takes courage. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done in her life and what you will continue to do, God. Thank you, Father, that she's been adopted by the blood of Jesus into the family of your family, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are her father and that you love her. Thank you. Bless her. So you know the routine. We got to go out there. So just help push some of the tables and put up some chairs. And then while